High school football peaked early last week. We had a lot of great games on Friday night. Ray Brewer went out to Moapa Valley to see them play Desert Pines. I saw Arborview and Green Valley. I'm Case Kiefer. But the best action of the week was Thursday night, the old rivalry, Palo Verde Centennial, with an absolutely crazy ending. We're going to get to that today on Prep Sports Now, which is brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Reminds you to keep your eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, buckle up, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, get safely to your next destination. And also Wingstop, the wing experts, open till midnight at 6 Vegas locations. Brewer, I think you're a little more, have a better memory than me on this. So describe this wild ending to Palo Verde and Centennial Thursday night.
Well, it's a back and forth game. Centennial drives the ball down the field, lines up their field goal kicker, a lefty, makes about a 30-yarder, barely goes through, and the players storm the field. They lift the kid up. They think the game's over. Out come the flags. There's 4 seconds left. So Centennial's got the three-point lead. They got to kick off now, but from like the 20, right, or the 25, whatever it is. Kid kicks off trying to do the squib kick, but he kicks it right into a Palo player who falls directly on the ball. So now there's 2 seconds left, enough to run one play. First play, they hike the ball. The kid Hutchinson, the quarterback, has no chance. He's absolutely mauled, throws the ball away. But they call roughing the passer and abusing the passer or whatever it is, in addition to intentional grounding, so they replay the down, bring in the backup quarterback because the Hutchinson kid is done, likely for the year. Done, yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Might be done for the year. So that kid comes in. And same thing, the whole Centennial team breaks through the line, tackles him, face mask, puts the ball in field goal range. They roll out Austin Mack, 47-yard attempt, off the uprights through, tie game overtime.
I mean, that's just like a 0.01% chance of all that conspiring to go to overtime. But then after all that, you get all that good fortune. Can't even win. Centennial wins in overtime, so it was all kind of for nothing, but boy, is it fun to talk about and remember. And Palo Verde's just had a lot of breaks go against them this year, it feels like. They're now 1-2. They've been injured. A lot of kids were banged up a couple weeks ago, and now it sounds like they lose their quarterback. Rough time for Palo Verde. I do think the schedule might be getting a little easier. They're going to Silverado this week in a game that you think they're probably the favorite. Then they go to Green Valley, which should be a good game. So tough start to the year for Palo, but I got to ask you, am I wrong to be a little bit down on Centennial with how they've opened? I mean, that's like two wins that could have gone either way now against Legacy and Palo Verde. The Palo Verde series, traditionally Palo Verde's better than them, and I know it was won a lot more, so you'd think that'd be a close game, but just for a team that we had number three going into the season and we thought this is going to be their best team ever, I'm not blown away by what I've seen so far.
You know, it's here's the deal. There's two ways to look at the preseason schedules. You have some teams that play like one or two challenging games, and then they get some middle-tier teams to build some confidence against. And then you get a team like Palo Verde, who new coach, right, head coach, so you've got some different messages coming in on game day, and they're jumping into just a real challenging schedule. Coronado, which was a great game. You were there. Right, Centennial, a top five team, you know, and it's just a transition phase. They have to get used to it. I actually like Palo more than I think a lot of people, but they just have a hard time, scoring. I thought, you know, the offense was struggling to move the ball a little bit, and it could be a problem moving forward.
Oh, yeah, I actually meant the other side. Is my perception on Palo is about the same. I mean, they've lost two close games, one close game. It's been about how I've expected. I'm a little bit more down on Centennial than where I thought I'd be.
I'd say I think Centennial's problem is, you know, I think they were like 6-20 in passing. They're trying to get some balance on offense because, Stevenson's going to get the ball. You load the box. They've got this Scarborough kid, a good wide receiver, And I think Centennial might have been guilty of overlooking Paolo a little bit. I'd said at the beginning of the year, I don't think Centennial is going to lose until they play Gorman, or they wouldn't be challenged until they play Arbor. I can't remember what I said.
You said they were, you definitely picked them. I picked Arbor.
Okay. And now, yeah, because I did the top 10 and I had them ahead of Arbor. Now Liberty comes in this week, and I think that maybe Centennial just been gearing up for that Liberty game the whole time.
Does that mean you think they're going to beat Liberty?
I picked Liberty, but I think it's going to be a lot. Liberty's given up a lot of points, man.
Yeah, that's true. I feel even more confident about my Arborview pick, I guess. And that sounds really weird to say when they lost 50-14 to start the year. But I think it's been eye-opening to me for Centennial, and I know this football math, so to speak, doesn't always work. But that Legacy game, they just escaped by the skin of their teeth, and Legacy hasn't exactly looked great since then. I mean, Arborview destroyed them. Coronado beat them somewhat comfortably, I think. It was 2 touchdowns last week. And so something about Centennial just isn't clicking right. That's not to say maybe they don't get it together. And this defense just hasn't been, you know, you said you worry about Palo Verde's offense and they don't score that well. Well, they still scored okay against a Centennial defensive front that's supposed to be, like, the greatest thing in the Valley. They've given up at least 18 points in every game, including to Shadow Ridge. I don't know.
I think
there's a ways to go.
I think we're doing a little overreacting early. First,
it's 3 games, though. I mean, this is a quarter of the season for a high school season, right? More than a quarter of a season. They play 10 regular season games, 30%.
Yeah, you're just gearing up for Arborview, basically. Everything you do is to get ready for Arborview, right? Everything you do is to get ready. If you're Paolo, everything you do is to get ready to play Gorman at the end of the year. You know, I think early you give kids a little more playing time. It's hotter out. It's a buck 10. You're getting water timeouts. I think teams look drastically different from week 1 to week 10. And the good teams tend to get better. And listen, you're telling me every day you could go to bat with the Barnaby kid playing defense, Greg Rogers for Centennial. I'll take those two guys any day.
Oh, I think both. When I've seen Centennial, both those guys are just great players. I mean, maybe they've gotten off to a slow start, or maybe the pieces around them aren't fitting.
I just think it's all a process. Okay, the Evans kid's a first time starter at quarterback. They're spreading the ball out a little more. You know what you have in Stevenson, and other teams know what you have. You know, you get the kid. He was our player of the year, right? We wrote about him. He had the long run against Gorman. Now everybody's teeing off on the kid. So now you got to try to find other ways to get him involved. Your offense has got to evolve a little bit. They're spreading the ball out. I think Centennial's going to be fine because at least I think they play good defense.
Yeah, I think they'll probably be fine too, but I'm just saying I think if they play like they have the first 3 weeks this week against Liberty, they are going to get absolutely stomped. I know you differ and think that Liberty's defense is a question mark. I'm not disagreeing.
Liberty's
with
defense
you.
Is a question mark. But it's not an opinion. That is 100% fact.
Wow, we're talking strength of opponents. They played 2 top 100 teams in the country. I don't think it's really fair to judge their defense based off of that. Centennial's offense is not going to be Milani, our listener from Hawaii, is not going to be happy. That
$5 bet over under points scored by Centennial against Liberty.
Okay. You have it at 31, so what are you trying to set the total at?
30 and a half.
I'll take under.
I'll take over.
Okay.
We're in. $5.
We've had a $5 bet all year. That's a good one.
That's a touchdown, a quarter, and a little garbage thing at the end.
I definitely take under 30 and a half. I like that number. We're going to get to that game later with all the others in the picks. A couple other things we need to touch on first. Speaking of player of the week, which Ramondre Stevenson from Centennial won once last year and the end of the year. This week's Wingstop Player of the Week, Robert Howard, Rancho running back. Look, if you can be the leader to snap a 30-game losing streak with a 2-game win streak where you rush for all kinds of yards, this weekend Howard had more than 10 yards per carry, 18 carries for 190 yards in a win against Boulder City.
Boulder City, yeah.
So congrats to Robert Howard. Congrats to the Rancho program. I think this is a good way of recognizing them. Robert Howard, Wingstop Player of the Week.
Yeah, and I think what Rancho has done is, you know, nothing short of amazing. If you saw Rancho play last year, or if you went out to a practice, I think I've told you about my my Rancho practice experience like 2 years ago. Yes. Did I tell you the extra point story?
I don't remember it, but go ahead. Okay, so anyway, it's safe to share.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rancho's working on PATs, and they can't get the ball from the snapper to the holder for the kid to kick it. We're talking like 10 minutes of trying. And they've got like three offensive linemen sitting behind the field goal thing. And when the kid kicks the ball, the linemen are trying to do soccer headers off the top of their helmet with the ball in the air. But they couldn't get the ball from A to B to make the kick. And Rancho is really bad. I mean, they're losing games where they're giving up 60 points in the first quarter. You know, every play they're giving up points. And for them to not only win games, but to have a chance to have a winning record, which is what's going to happen. Nothing short of amazing. The Howard kid last year rushed for 1,000 yards. So he's actually a really good player. Tom Pletch and his crew, the bone game is 2 weeks away against Vegas. They haven't won the bone game in 19 tries. Do they have a chance? You've seen – did you see Vegas play?
I have not seen Vegas, but someone this weekend was telling me they have that Rancho honestly has a chance. I'm still pretty high on, like, the Elijah Hicks kid, and based on what I heard about their game on Saturday when they beat Shadow Ridge, it seems like when their offense gets going, it gets going. So I still got to say Vegas, but maybe it's more interesting than the past few years.
Yeah, I mean, I just think if you took Elijah Hicks out of the equation, then I would say, okay, it's going to be interesting. But if I'm Vegas, I'm like, okay, well, here, we've got the best player on the field, and it's not even close, and we're going to give him the ball and let him go to work. But, yeah, I think the bone game will have to be at this year because if it happens, and I can't even believe we're saying that it could happen because Rancho's won two games after losing 30, and the wins are against Valley and Boulder City, who could be two of the five worst teams in town. And now all of a sudden we say they're going to beat Vegas. How dare I? That is wrong.
That is like that is blasphemous. 100% wrong. That is blasphemous.
If Thurman calls me and tells me I'm a moron, I would agree with him. I mean, Vegas has killed them 19 years in a row. And because Vegas doesn't have a proven quarterback, even though they've scored 34 and 42 points in two games against teams not named Valley or Boulder City, now all of a sudden we're like, oh, Rancho, I'm in love with this story so much. How wrong am I?
Maybe I'm just higher on Vegas for 1 year.
And how wrong am I to talk? Centennial is a Cadillac. They've got 90 kids out there. Big Barnaby, Rogers, Stevenson. Big, manly, physical, strong kids. They're scoring more than 30 points against Liberty.
Nah, I don't see it. I don't think so.
If Liberty wins the game 42-7, I'll be shocked.
I don't think it's going to be
shocked.
I don't think it's going to be 42-7, and I haven't actually made my predictions yet. But
Liberty's going to score, right?
Oh, Liberty! I mean,
they got this kid Ethan Dudeau who scores like 7 a game, 8 a game. Oblad, great quarterback. BYU offer.
Do you know how many local opponents Liberty gave up more than 32 last year?
How many?
One.
How many of those?
Bishop Gorman.
Yeah, but how many of those teams had Ramadre Stevenson?
I mean,
that was last year. They had Noah Jefferson who went to SC.
You've covered football long enough. You should know one player is not going to make a defense. We can go stick Greg Rogers on Boulder City and see how many points they give up.
They wouldn't have lost to Rancho with Greg Rogers.
Wow, I think you're way overvalued.
Greg Rogers?
Player.
He's really good.
He's great. That's why I used him. He's like the best possible example, but you can't tell me that the only reason Liberty didn't give up more than 30 points is one person, Noah Jefferson. I was trying to think of Noah Jefferson's equal this year on the defensive line. It would probably be Greg Rogers, right? He's probably the most impactful defensive lineman
in town. So what you're saying is that either A, Morocco's going to be mad at me because I said they can't play defense. B, Thurman should be rightfully mad at me because I said Rancho's got a chance. Or C, Evans is going to hate me because we think that somehow undefeated Centennial, who's been tested in a few games, might not that be that good because of early season struggles. Paolo's awful.
You have my head spinning, and I don't understand what you're saying. I did not say Paolo's awful. I said Paolo's exactly what I expected. I think they're going to be fine by the end of the year. I feel bad for them. They've lost some close games and endured these injuries. I'm saying right now there are at least four teams in town that I'm pretty comfortable picking over Centennial.
Bishop Gorman.
If they played. Bishop Gorman. I think Liberty is going to handle them this weekend. But I could be wrong. It's a good spot for
Handle's
Centennial.
A strong word. I'm going to sneeze. I'm sorry.
I think I would pick Desert Pines. And I would pick Arborview.
Oh.
So there's four teams. I mean, Arborview's beaten them. I think we went over this the first podcast. Beats them almost every year. It has like one loss in the last 4 or 5 years. So,
do you think Arborview is going to be able to run on Centennial this year?
See, that's why I thought you had the best argument that like Centennial is not going to lose till they play Gorman, because they have such a great defense. But I have to look. This is 3 weeks, and you can't tell me it's a small sample size. It's 30% of the season. They're giving up 3 touchdowns a game.
Well, the shadow.
I've got to tell you, I think Arborview. I've seen both. I think they have a better running game than Palo Verde. And they gave up 24 to Palo Verde.
The only thing I think that strengthens your argument is the Legacy result. Because Legacy had a guy rush for 200 yards. Legacy still hasn't won a game, right?
Yeah, Tiger Geeson has had some good games since then. Kid is pretty good.
The kid's good, but this is Centennial, top five team. Greg Rogers.
All right, we'll see how they fare against Liberty. Before we get to the picks, we got to mention the D1A and Desert Pines and Moapa Valley. Desert Pines wins 34-20 in the state championship rematch, benefited by 8 turnovers, you were telling me, from Moapa Valley, which is just, to me, 8 turnovers and you only lose by 14 points? This game sounds very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, well, first off, shout out to everybody in Moapa because they treated me real well. I drove up there. The second I walk in, the guy running the barbecue recognized me, tried to throw a hamburger down my throat. I love being up there, man. Absolutely love it. They got, you know, their youth team playing on the back soccer field, having a good time. Their youth team goes into Utah Case to play Pop Warner. And why don't they come down to Vegas, you ask? Which I asked.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you want to come down and play the teams that you're playing against in high school?
You would think.
Well, two things. A, they don't want their players to get poached. Makes sense. B, the Utah teams are 100 times better. They're getting better competition every
year. I
thought
that's where you were going
with this. Yeah. Well, But back to the game. RJ Hubert is awesome. DP didn't want to give him the ball, so they squib kicked, and the kid who caught the ball threw it back to Hubert, who took it to the house. Then he scored on a halfback option pass to the house, and then he had just another rushing touchdown to the house. And the thing I really liked is how after the game, all the DP players were like, RJ Hubert is awesome. He kicked our butt. They were literally like, the guy is the best player on the field. And the respect the two teams have for each other. One of the parents from Moapa was telling me, CK, that of all the teams they play, that they like Desert Pines the most because Desert Pines has the nicest players.
Well, that's good to hear. Two of the best teams, some good sportsmanship.
So they respect each other. Now, in terms of the game, DP is 3... Moapa 7 or 8 in our top 10. You would expect it to be a little more clean. Moapa threw 6 interceptions, had another fumble for a scoop and score. So if Moapa takes care of the ball, you easily could see that they would have won the game. Desert Pines, the Morse kid had like a $150, a $160. He got hurt at the end of the first half, only played sparingly the rest of the way. You would have liked that changed the whole complexity of their offense because they just didn't have that running element with the speed to get through. But shout out to the DP defense as well, right? You force all those turnovers, you have to be doing something right. And there was one interception Jordan Diggs made, just this real cool diving little interception. So great job by the DP defense. You could easily say, Case, that they'll play again later in the season, but right now, Desert Pines, huge advantage because you could assume Faith is going to win the other side. And I don't want to have to go to Faith in November when it's cold for a playoff game. And that looks like Moapa Valley is going to have to do that.
I just always have to laugh when you say cold. I understand colder than normal, but
cold for us.
Yeah, I know. When I used to play in November in the cold, it would be like 8 degrees, -5 with the wind chill. That was cold.
Well, you're from a cold climate town.
But anyway, first league loss since 2007 for Moapa Valley. That 8 turnovers just really stands out to me. I think neither of us would be surprised, as you alluded to, if these two teams have a rematch in the state championship. But,
yeah.
But the road's a little tougher for the Pirates.
And I thought Desert Pines was a clear-cut favorite to win the state championship. But, I mean, I think Moapa Valley's got to be in the conversation. Moapa Valley impressed me with their, you know, just how aggressive they played, their grit and determination. They had a lot of undersized players on the line who played much bigger. And I was going to tell you about one player, but I forgot his name, so I apologize.
A lineman
for...
This is going to be the first time ever you've told me about someone that's not a running back or a receiver, and you forgot his name?
Yeah, I think it was 57 from Moapa Valley. I'm going to pull up the roster real fast.
All right, yeah, we might as well get it. While we're doing that, I'll just briefly touch on the game I went to. It was Arborview Green Valley. And as far as touching on kids' names that you might not have heard of, Arborview's Harold Bell was just a terror. I think he's a big reason why they were able to hold on. I guess getting pressure on Green Valley all night. Arborview wins 35-20 in a game where they never trailed. Honestly, did a really good job against Green Valley's offense in the first half. Made some turnovers. I think they lost the turnover battle by 3 or 4, which kept Green Valley in it.
And the quarterback for Green Valley is now the Amarillo kid.
Yeah, AJ Amarillo. They
went to high school with his parents. For
whatever. Yeah, it took him a while to get going, but once he got going, he threw the ball around pretty well. They spread it out. I like Green Valley's offense still. I look at them as a team that could improve. They just got a lot of guys that you feel like haven't played a lot in the past few years.
So the guy I'm thinking about from Moapa, well, Bo Red is like 5'10", 190, which he's not the guy. It was, I don't want to say the wrong player, but I don't want to say the wrong player. It might have been Garrett May, who they listed 5'7", 160, but I thought it was Jersey 57. And they've got 53 and 54, both of which are like 5'7", 1, whatever.
Well, what are those kids' names? Then if we just throw them all out there, one of them will
score. Garrett May and Chase Sawyer. So I'm sure somebody's going to call and let us know that one of those two kids hasn't seen the field in 3 years. But the Bo Red kid is a good player, but they just have these kids who are undersized that play like they're much larger. And Desert Pines has got a huge up front. And do you want me to give you the update from Lake Tahoe guy?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Fallon, who DP beat 16-0 in the state semis, not as good as they were last year. Elko, not as good as he thought, but they're going to be good. And Truckee destroyed Lowry. Of course, he's a Truckee guy, so he's going to tell you every week that Truckee's going to win. Is going to win every week. So,
all right, good to know. So there's a quick scouting report on those teams. Just to finish on my game, Arborview played I was really impressed with Arborview's offense. It looks like they hadn't really skipped a beat. They threw more than I've ever seen them. And I feel like the Hayden Bollinger kid has a pretty good arm. Made some nice passes. It's nice when you have a big target in Bishop Jones, who I think had 3 catches. And speaking of the Joneses, Curtis Jones looks like he's going to step into that feature back role and not miss a beat because he ran all over Green Valley, more than 200 yards, a couple touchdowns.
I think speaking of defenses that are a work in progress, let's go ahead and label Green Valley as that.
Yeah, Green Valley back-to-back weeks has given up a whole bunch of points. They've got some tough games coming up, so you'd like to see that fixed sooner rather than later. Are you ready to get to the picks?
Pick me up.
All right, I was kind of cracking up, even not physically inside, when you declared earlier today that you have had a lifelong obsession with Long Beach Poly and have always wanted to see them play. Well, you're going to get your wish on Friday night because Long Beach Poly, which I don't understand how you're such a huge fan, Bishop Gorman.
Have you seen the Adidas commercials for Long Beach Poly?
I don't think so.
Dude, if your program is so respected that an apparel company has a commercial for you, then you're the real deal. DeSean Jackson, alumni Long Beach Poly.
Interesting.
It's just, to me, one of those elite, premier, nationally known California juggernauts. They've got a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. They've got a quarterback who is the real deal. and I'm going to try to find his name because I forgot.
I guess that means Kalen Clay went there too, because last year when he'd had the infamous fumble with the one, just like DeSean Jackson when Utah was playing Oregon, Kalen Clay, who now plays for the Buccaneers, they made a big deal that he went to the same high school as DeSean Jackson.
Okay.
So I'm sure they have a lot of let's look.
The kid is Malik Henry, the quarterback who could end Gorman's undefeated record and hopes for a national championship.
They have like a whole roster full of NFL guys. Jarrell Casey went there. This is quite the program.
Okay.
I think this is where Bishop Gorman might be in a few years, but it seems like Willie McGinnis went there. This is a...
And the quarterback, Malik Henry, is the five-star recruit, top 20 national, verbal Florida State.
Wow. And it seems like this would be the type of team then that could have test the Bishop Gorman defense that you were a little down on until this week. Now it seems like you're buying in a little more, because you have Long Beach Poly winning pretty comfortably. I mean, Long Beach Poly losing by quite a lot here.
Yeah, here's the deal. At the beginning of the year, I thought Gorman had a chance to lose two games. Okay, one, I thought they were going to either lose to Bellevue or Bingham, right?
Yeah.
And I picked them to win against Bingham, and then Bellevue was just in such disarray with their program and that Seattle Times story calling it a diploma mill. So I had to pick Bingham. I mean, I had to pick Gorman back-to-back weeks. And then I always said, okay, I'm going to pick Long Beach Poly because, A, I have a man crush on Long Beach Poly. B, I knew they had a good quarterback, a lot of speed, and they wouldn't be afraid of the environment at Gorman. But then this Gorman defense, man, has just been unstoppable. And I think Gorman now knows that it's got through the hard part of its schedule. Road games in Salt Lake, road games in Seattle. All the other tough games are at home. If you win out, baby, you win the national championship again.
Well, they got Don Bosco still, right?
They do, but it's at home. Yeah, they're good. I still think Long Beach Poly is the biggest roadblock left in the national championship train. But when push comes to shove, Gorman scored on 5 of 7 possessions at Bellevue, right? They got a lot of kids who have ties to the Southern California area. They're going to be up for this game because it's Long Beach Poly, and everybody wants to beat Long Beach Poly. So I'm taking the Gales, and I can't wait to be out there and see those slick Adidas uniforms. I love Adidas, bro. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
I've got to somewhat agree with you. I might have picked against Gorman a few weeks ago, but God, they haven't even been in a close game yet, and it's not like they haven't played good competition. We had the highest rated next big thing 5-star quarterback come into Gorman last year, Josh Rosen, and lose,
oh,
even though he put up a
Josh
pretty good
Rosen.
Stats. So are you just going to act like Malik Henry's absolutely terrible like you do Josh Rosen if he loses at Gorman too?
No, but look how sick these uniforms are.
I saw them.
Oh,
very good.
God, yeah.
So I'm asking, is Malik Henry going to be held to the same standard as Josh Rosen to you? Like, what if he loses? Are you down on him and picking against Florida State every week?
No, I mean, he's not going to.
So you're saying this guy's a better prospect than Josh Rosen?
I don't know.
Is this similar? It seems like at the best quarterback in the nation coming into Gorman.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's going to Florida State. Florida State just doesn't take.
Oh no, I'm just saying it seems very similar. And last year they did a good enough job on Rosen to win the game.
They did.
Henry's probably a different style. Or I don't know if
he's a dual threat. Yeah, dual threat. Rosen was more drop back. Yeah,
a little bit different, but seems similar. I'm going Bishop Gorman, and I think it could be a close game. But I just can't pick against this team the way they've won the first 3 weeks.
The question is who is Snoop Dogg rooting for?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because he designed their uniforms and got him the Adidas deal, and that's his team. It's always been his team, but yet his kid.
Interesting.
Went to Gorman. Yeah.
Will he be? I doubt he'll be at the game though. Either way.
He might be. I mean,
you can see it. He's here for Life is Beautiful in 2 weeks.
Oh,
too bad it's not that day. Man, and he could easily have gone. All right. Well, we're both on Gorman. Next game, Liberty at Centennial. I'm just not seeing this game being that close. I think Liberty wins. I think they're up couple touchdowns at halftime and can add to it in the second half. I'm going to say Liberty pretty big. This is a big drop off in competition level compared to the first two teams they've played.
I think Liberty is going to win as well. I think it's going to be a lot closer than you think. I think, A, I'm not sold on the Liberty defense, even though they played good Division I talent. And B, I just think Centennial is a team that's going to, you know, turn a switch on knowing they're in a sexy marquee game, whereas maybe they weren't as prepared in previous weeks. Even last year, they played a Thursday Night Lights game against Foothill and, you know, won at the end as well, so they don't play good on Thursdays. Making excuses. I think this game's going to be close, but I'll take the
Patriots. All right, yeah, I agree that maybe Centennial's getting them in a good spot here. I don't buy the fact that they weren't fired up to play Palo Verde. It's just such a big rival, but maybe they are. So I don't think they were down in that game. Maybe Liberty is a little high on themselves and thinking they come in and can roll over them, which they're going to have to put up forth some kind of effort. But I just can't pick a team to keep it close with Liberty, who completed 6 of 20 passes last week. That's not pretty. I think Liberty wins big here. Next game is Coronado at Canyon Springs.
Canyon Springs had
a tough game.
It's a real tough game. Canyon Springs plays good D. Their offense is coming along gradually. And I just think that they had so many new bodies offensively. I think Coronado is going to be able to go in there and kind of push them around a little bit. Coronado's good up front. Canyon Springs is not as good up front. I think the Cougars go to Northtown again and get a W.
I mean, Canyon Springs has given up, I think, 6 points in regulation this year.
Against Cheyenne and Cimarron Memorial.
Cheyenne's pretty decent this year, no?
They are good, but again, it's a lower-tier school.
Still means something. I'm going to go Canyon Springs.
All right,
I think it's pretty close. Canyon Springs at home. I'm going to go with the Pioneers. Cimarron Memorial at Las Vegas. Vegas wins big.
I agree.
Okay, Faith Lutheran at Cheyenne. Right after your talk about Cheyenne, you say this game's likely going to decide the Sunset League
title. Yeah, Cheyenne beat Spring Valley last week. And we go back to the fact that Cheyenne has a lot of three-year guys at skilled positions leading the charge. And they beat Faith last year.
In overtime.
And again, I think Cheyenne has the one thing that Faith doesn't have. And that's speed, even though the Christian Marshall kid is very good. Last week had 2 receiving touchdowns, more than 100 yards reception, and he's a great, great running back. I'm picking Faith, of course, but I think Cheyenne and Faith play close games.
Yeah, I think Christian Marshall will be the best player on the field. That's going to be the difference. Crusaders to win that one. Shadow Ridge at Arborview. Arborview's still got some things they want to work out defensively, I would think. But offensively, I think they're kind of clicking right now, as long as they don't fumble the ball in Shadow Ridge's territory like they did against Green Valley to keep them in it. I think this game will be over probably before the end of the first quarter.
I mean, you got to give – did you give Arbor a mulligan now for the DP game, just saying they overlooked them? Or do you think the speed really has
I don't think they overlooked them. I do think that, probably like you said, that they got down and got down on themselves and maybe kind of quit in the second half, which isn't good. But, you know, if they played again tomorrow, I would pick Desert Pines again. I didn't pick Desert Pines the first time, but I would pick Desert Pines
to
win
again. We both picked Arbor, didn't we?
Yeah, I would pick Desert Pines to win again, so I don't give them a total mulligan, but I think they're going to get rolling a little bit now, and it's going to start against Shadow Ridge.
Okay. I agree. That game's on Thursday, the Thursday night game, so it'll be over by 8 o'clock because both teams. Foster, the shadow coach, used to be at Arbor, the Dan Barnson coaching tree, of course, and double wing me up for a quick game. I would love to cover that on a Friday night.
All right, Del Sol at Boulder City, 2 winless teams going at it. I probably would pick whichever team was at home, and in this case, it's Boulder City, so I'm going to go with the Eagles.
I'm picking the Eagles as well. I think I would even take them at Del Sol. Del Sol's got a significant offensive problem.
Okay. Basic at Bonanza. I got to tell you, I think we have been not talking enough about Basic. Maybe Desert Oasis 50-0. I know Desert Oasis hadn't beaten the best competition, but they were 2-0. It seemed like they had some things to be high on themselves about. That's a tough team to go against right now.
Yeah, they got a lot. Basic got a lot of good press last week. They were 2-0. It was our competitor's game of the week. Nice photo of Talich. And the Wolves, man, that offense, bro, that's the thing. You know, I go out to a lot of youth football games, and a lot of people are like, oh, where should I go? Where should I go? Go to Basic, man. If you want to be on an All-State team and put up a lot of points, you know what I'm saying? Basic scores. Oh, my God, do they score a lot. McAllister, Waldron has been awesome. Awesome this year. He was in our discussion for Player of the Week. And the Wolves.
Maybe if he probably penalized himself by them blowing them out so bad, as he didn't have to play hardly at all after the first half, I'm assuming. 8 carries for 72 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and he's just been great all year.
Basic had about 25 guys get a rushing attempt in that last game. But Bonanza also on a 2-game win streak. The Deshaun Williams kid has been very good.
And the R.J. Carter kid, the wide receiver.
Yeah, so Bonanza has some weapons too, but I just don't see them hanging on the field with Basic.
I don't either, but I do think Bonanza is going to do a good job of slowing the game down with its rushing game.
I just think right now, if you look at the Southeast, I don't think going into the year either of us picked Basic. I think Basic has to be the favorite right now. I picked Foothill and you picked Green Valley.
Yeah.
You don't not seem convinced. I don't see who I would pick over Basic right now.
Who did Basic beat? Oh, they beat Palo, which is questionable, right?
I'm impressed. I mean, they were winning the whole game. It wasn't like a fluke or anything.
Basic?
Weren't they against Palo?
They scored a field goal to take the lead right before halftime, and that kind of gave momentum.
But okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I like Basic a lot. You seem like you don't want to sway from your Green Valley pick, I guess.
I might have to. I mean, considering that Green Valley plays no defense or is working on learning how to play better defense. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, we're both on Basic this week. Moapa Valley at Sunrise Mountain. I think Moapa Valley could turn the ball over 8 times and still win this week.
I think Sunrise Mountain's better than you think, but, yes, they're not going to beat.
They are. They're very improved, but Moapa Valley is at that top tier of the D1A, and any team like this, they're going to beat comfortably.
And they're going to try to prove a point, I would suspect.
Yes. Chaparral at Desert Pines. Your Cowboys, I think, are going to get attacked by the Jaguars.
I do, but I think Desert Pines has proven that they don't get up for inferior opponents, which my Cowboys are. They might have a little bit of a Moapa hangover. I got this game being close.
Okay, I don't think so. I think DP wins this pretty comfortably. I don't know if they've proven to play not as well against good opponents. Where does that come from?
Who, DP?
Yeah.
What was the score of the halftime of Mojave?
At halftime, that's why there's 4 quarters in a football game. That's like when you lose a poker hand. You're like, oh, I started with pocket aces. Yeah, there's 4 hearts on the board.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm DP. Sierra Vista at Mojave the next game. I'm stunned you're not picking against Mojave since you find a way to trash them every week on the podcast.
No, come on. No.
I think Mojave wins this game.
I got Mojave as well.
All right. El Dorado at Desert Oasis. El Dorado's a real work in progress this year. It just seems like they don't have a whole lot beyond Dabbs at quarterback. Desert Oasis coming off a tough loss, but I think they get right here.
I totally agree.
Okay, Palo Verde at Silverado. Could you talk me into this being a competitive game?
I think Palo, who lost 2 kids to Silverado in the offseason, will make a point and kill Silverado.
I think Silverado, Randall Cunningham was saying they have a lot of kids that aren't playing yet on offense. They're still coming back, maybe injured, eligibility issues. So I think they could get better and better, maybe if they get some of those guys back this week. But that being said, I've seen Palo Verde and I've seen Silverado, and Palo just seemed like a much better team at this point.
Palo is going to kill them to make a point.
Okay.
Quote me, Ray Brewer.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I wish I could take issue with it, but I don't. Pahrump at Western. Pahrump Valley, is this going to be their first win?
No, second. They beat Del Sol, so.
Right, Del Sol. Pahrump Valley is going to beat Western.
Totally agree with you.
Okay. Valley at Legacy. This will be Legacy's first win.
This will be. Correct.
Tiger Geeslin again. Kid's a standout on the offensive side of the ball, and he could run for as many as he wants to against Valley. Spring Valley at Clark, which you sent me without a score, so I really have no idea who you're picking.
That was a coin flip, but I didn't know who to pick. So, yeah, Case, I just don't know what to do in this game, man, to be 100% honest with you. I love Spring Valley going into the Cheyenne game. They shot themselves in the foot repeatedly, and Clark's battled a few injuries and some inconsistent play. Do I stick with the team that I like, that I think's going to win, or do I go with the team that I'm going to take Spring Valley, give them one more try?
I have no idea what to do in this game. How did Spring Valley's game go this week?
They lost to Cheyenne 22-12.
I meant score-wise. Sorry, I didn't know where that was.
22-12, yeah.
I mean, Clark didn't get blown out versus Faith. It was 39-19. Pretty close game. Let's see, what did Clark and Spring Valley do last year? Ooh, Clark lost 37-6.
It was close until halftime.
37-6, though. Spring Valley has a lot of kids back. I think they're pretty experienced. I got to go with the Grizzlies, even though they haven't blown me away so far this year either. Are we on the different side of any of these games?
Not yet. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry.
All right, one more. Virgin Valley at Rancho. Who you got?
I got Rancho.
There we go. I set myself up for it because I was saying we're not on the different side. I'm going to go ahead and let Rancho beat me one more week.
I know.
And pick against him with Virgin
you're
Valley.
You're hating Rancho.
Is it Virgin had a blowout last week? I know.
Yeah, who'd they beat?
2 weeks in a row.
Who'd they beat, Case?
Western and Del Sol. Hey, coming into the year before Rancho was on a little bit of a win streak, we would have grouped them with those teams.
All right. Yeah, we would have, but they're clearly better.
Yeah, no, this could be.
And they have a player that I think is decent.
I think Virgin Valley has some decent players, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too.
All right, well, this game, I think we can agree, could be one of the closer ones of the week, right?
I agree. That's definitely.
Yeah, the Joshua Bishop kid for Virgin Valley, watch out for him. They won 48-0 against Del Sol. Kai Mitchell had a bunch of rushing touchdowns. Hogan Foles, big game. I'm going to go Virgin Valley, Bulldogs. Well, thanks to Wingstop and the Nevada Department of Public Safety. One more time, this has been Prep Sports Now. Any parting wishes you got for the listeners, Brewer?
I just wish we could do the whole centennial thing over again. I'd convince you.
Convince me of what? That I should be higher on centennial?
Yep.
All right, well, I'll tell you how Centennial can convince me. I'm going out to the game against Liberty. If Centennial hangs with Liberty, if they even hang within, like, less than two touchdowns, I will drop my Centennial criticism.
Two touchdowns?
Yeah.
Bro, this is going to be a real game. You're acting like Liberty's going to show up at Centennial, and the referees are going to be like,
who's been the best
coach? Do you want the running clock on now? I don't want your kids to get embarrassed. This is Centennial, bro.
You picked them to lose
they
by two
like
touchdowns.
They got like D1 kids at
you
multiple
picked them
sports.
To lose by two touchdowns.
It's going to be close.
Ethan Dudeau.
The one player. Greg Rogers.
Rudy Bukasa.
Scarvor, whatever the guy, the wide receiver is.
Jamal Evans has run for a lot of yards, too.
Ramondre Stevenson.
I just always have to pick one team that I'm down on, right? So I think it's Centennial right now. They can definitely prove me wrong. If this game is single digits with Liberty, I take back everything I said. I think Liberty will win by more than 10.
All right.
I'd be pretty surprised if not.
I promise you Centennial scores more than 30 points.
Hey, well, we got that $5 bet. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Prep Sports Now.